Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, we'll pick up 12 lines from the bottom. There's the two dots. The Mishnah had said, Misha Hutal Alav Yadel Yoina, the person who it was literally like placed upon him, meaning he's the one who got ripped off. Either if he's the buyer, he paid too much. If he's the seller, he sold it for too little. Yadol Yoina, that person is the one who has the upper hand. Mani Mas Nisan. Now, the Mishnah went on to explain the dinim, and we want to know now which Tana would the Mishnah be, which, interestingly enough, on Nun Amud Beis, we had a Tanaic source near the bottom that was a machlokas between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Those are the two Tanaic opinions on the issue. So we want to know our Mishnah, Mani Mas Nisan, apparently, Lo Rabbi Nosson, Lo Rabbi Hanasi. If you put an arrow in on Nun Amud Beis, about eight lines on the bottom, the corresponding arrow would be here. This is the Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Who would it be like? And we'll see why seemingly it's like neither of them, colon, E, Rabbi Nosson, I squiggle on the E. If you want to say it's Rabbi Nosson and Angela, and Rabbi Nosson, Mas Nisan Ketani Rotza. Our Mishnah had said, if he wants to, the one who got ripped off, he could say, give me my money back, or give me the difference between what it was worth and what was paid. Ubraisa lo ketani rotza. However, the Braisa didn't say anything about if he wants to. It sounded like, no, the deal's good, and he gets a refund of whatever the ripoff amount was. On the other hand, I Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, I squiggle around the E and another Rabbi Hanasi, Mas Nisan Ketani Laikeach. Our Mishnah is talking about it in the context or the perspective of the purchaser who got ripped off, whereas the Braisa Ketani, Meicher. The Braisa, back on the bottom of the previous Talmud, presents itself in the context of where the seller got ripped off. So who would be the author of our Mishnah? Amar Belazar, underline Belazar, and call them number one. Last one line is Rabbah, underline Rabbah, call them number two. The next line, four or five words before the end, is Rava, underline Rava, call them number three. So we'll have three approaches as to who could be the Tanaic opinion behind our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar says, Oina zu, eini yodea mishana. This Mishnah that's talking about Oina, I do not know who taught it. In other words, I don't have a clear understanding of which Tanaic opinion would hold like that. Okay, Rabbah, who's the second approach, Amar, La'olam Rabbi Nosson he. Really? It's Rabbi Nosson. Now, we had Rabbi Nosson. We're familiar with Rabbi Nosson. What was the thing, though? We said if it's Rabbi Nosson, but in our mission, it sounded like if he wants to, he could do one of two things. And the Braisa didn't seem to give him that option. So really, La'olam Rabbi Nosson he, V'tani Nami B'Braisa. So you know what? You have to edit the Braisa in the bottom of the previous Amud a little bit and say instead, Ratsa. That also over there, we're giving him an option. Ravu's a third approach. We underline, number three. Amar La'olam Rabbi Yehuda Hanasihi. Our Mishnah is basically, like most Mishnayos are, if you don't know otherwise, either Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Hanasi was the general editor of the Mishnayos. Umay Deshir Masnisin Kamefarsh Be Braisa. And simply, even though the Mishnah was talking about from the perspective of the seller, and the Mishnah was talking about from the perspective of the buyer, that's fine, because what was left off in the Mishnah, the Braisa filled in. In other words, they complement each other, not contradict each other. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, Dekanami, precise reading of the Mishnah will bring out this point. Dekatani, here's a four-word quote from the Mishnah. I put the right angles in. Echad ha-lekeach ve-echad ha-moicher. That's the way our Mishnah, in the middle of this Amud, starts off. Clearly talking about both from the perspective of if it's the purchaser who got ripped off or the seller who got ripped off. Umefarsh le-lekeach, and then goes on to explain only the purchaser. Shma mina. Shiurei Shirei Lemeicher. It left out the Meicher. Not that it doesn't agree, it just isn't going to explain it, but that was explained in the Braisa in the previous Amud, Shmamina, period. Itmar Haimel Lechaveirei. If a person says to his friend, listen, let's have a business transaction here. Omena She'inlach Alai Oina, on the condition that you have no claims of price fraud against me. Does that work or not? Machlokas Rav Ushmol. Rav, who we circled Amar, Yeish Le'ay Lavana. The one who was, if one of them was defrauded, there would still be a claim that that one could have against the other. Ushmuel, who we circled Amar, Ein lo yalav oina, nope. That was the agreement. No claims of price fraud, so no claims of price fraud. Okay, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara now wants to suggest that Machlokas possibly we could parallel to another machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, meaning each one of the Amoraim would hold like only one of the following Tanoim. So suggests the Gemara, Lema Rav, should we say that the Amora Rav, da Amar, he holds like the Tana Reb Meir, who we'll see shortly, and Shmuel, da Amar, he holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who we'll see shortly, de Sanya. So we know when a man gets married, he has certain responsibilities to his wife. The main three are that he has to make sure he provides her with food, clothing, and conjugal rights. Let's say you have, this is a Tanaic source, it goes for about a line and two-thirds, starts here. Ha'im le'isha, you have a man, he's going to get married to a woman, and he says to her, mekudeshesli, behold, thou art betrothed unto me, al menasha'in lach alai, on the condition that you don't have any claims on me of she'er ksus va'ona, share food, ksus clothing, ona, conjugal rights. Okay, now those are the basic responsibilities that a husband has to a wife. He's being mekadesh on condition and she doesn't have those claims against him. What do we say? Well, machlokas. Harezu mekudeshes, according to the first opinion, we say it's a good kiddushin. Utsano batel, and the conditions he made are nullified, divrei Rabbi Meir. We boxed Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says, you go ahead with the deal, it's just the conditions. You can't go against, something that is the Torah responsibility of a husband to a wife. And that would be just like Rav, who said, you have a deal. And Rav says that there would be an onah claim still. In other words, the deal stands, and you just go ahead with whatever the normal Jewish halachas are, regardless of what the condition was. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who we boxed, Aymer, he says, well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's a monetary issue, like a davarship in my mind, for instance, like a food responsibility the husband has to the wife, or clothing, both of those are simply monetary issues, to know Kayim there, the condition would be fulfilled in the marriage, and that would be like Shmuel, who had said when two people make a transaction, and the condition is you won't have any onah claims against me. Okay, then you can't have any onah claims against him. Should we match up then Rav with Shmuel, Rav with Reb Meir, and Shmuel with Rabbi Yehuda? And of course, every Amora always prefers to explain their Amoraic opinion as going within alternate opinions, and that's what both Rav and Shmuel do here. Amar lach Rav, underlying Rav. Rav would tell you, Anadamri afilu Rabbi Yehuda. No. When I said my din that there is onah, that's even according to Rabbi Yehuda. How so? I'd come like Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda only said the case where you have the couple getting married. Ella di yedah v'kamachla, where she knew that these were the conditions going into it from the beginning. She knew that she was not going to get those things. V'kamachla, and she was mochel. That's on the food rights, and that's excuse. Maybe she's got her own source of food, or own source, or brother-in-law, not brother-in-law, but maybe her father owns a clothing store. Of course, the conjugal rights issue, is tzar haguf, which is really not acceptable for mechila. Aval, however, Rav would tell you, hacha miyada de machel. In our case, who says there's going to be a price fraud? In our case, two people making the deal, the one who's going to eventually get defrauded figured he wouldn't get defrauded. So that's the difference. Whereas Shmuel, we underline Amar, Anadamri, I could say my opinion is valid even within the Tana Rebbe Meir. Kama, Ad Kali Kama Rebbe Meir Hasam, Ella, Devadai Ka Akar. Vadai Kaka, the way Rashi explains it, literally it's that for sure there'll be an uprooting of a Torah principle. What we mean here is at the time of the condition, that's when the marriage, really the Kiddushin, starts, and it's at that time that the condition being uprooted is being uprooted, because immediately there starts responsibility for all of those three things. Of Al-Hacha, in our case, of a business transaction, Mi Ema Dekak Armidi, who says it's going to be price fraud? It's just that was one of the initial conditions. Like maybe there will be, maybe there won't be. Who knows? Period. Amar Avanan, Ladidi Mifr Shalimi Made Mar Shmuel. I had it explained to me by Shmuel. A and B. Ha'imr Lechaveroi. A, if a person says to his friend, quote, Amenashein Lacha Alai Oina, we're going to make this business transaction on the condition that you have no claims of price fraud against me. Well, okay, that's fine. Ein loy alav ino. So he didn't have to make that deal. He made the deal. So there's no claims of price fraud allowed. Comma. However, if this condition is worded as follows, B, quote, Almanas she'ein by oina, and I would double underline she'ein by on the condition that there is not a reality of price fraud. Well, what does that mean? The Torah says there is a reality of it. You can't make a condition against that which the Torah says, and therefore, hare yesh bo yoinah, in that deal, there would be claims of price fraud. Period. Meisvei. We have a question. I would maybe even put a semicolon before the meisvei at the end of the previous line. This is a question on Rav, who had said that a person is able to have the way we explain that Rav could be going even like the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. So, Meisvei, we have this snake source, goes for just over two lines. Hanoisei v'hanoisein be'amana. Let's say you have a business transaction. Now, what's amana? Amana is, let's say, I have merchandise. I don't know what to sell it. I have some fellow who's an expert. I rely on him. I'm going to give him a slight wage, and I say, listen, here's the item that I'd like to sell. Sell it for whatever you're able to get for it, and give me the money, and I'm relying on you to get the best price. Or, ha'imel chaveray, somebody says to his friend, amanas she'ein la chalayoyla, on the condition that you have no claims of price fraud against me for the deal that we are about to do, then there will be no claims of price fraud. Now, Rav, or at least the Gemara, had suggested that Rav could explain that the even Rabbi Yehuda would be going like him. In other words, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda for sure would be going like him. And here we go. Says the Gemara, L'Rav, according to Rav Damer, who had said, Ana Damri Afil Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Mani. Well, who then will be the author of the snake source? It's not going to be Rabbi Yehuda. It's not going to be Rabbi Meir. We have no Tana with which to attribute the authorship of this snake source to. So at this point, Abai says it's actually preferable, or maybe we'll say it's better, it's whiter. Amar Abai, I circled Abai, Machvarta, it's whiter or better to say that Rav Wendel and Amar Meir, Rav is going like Rabbi Meir the Tana, which is fine, and only Rabbi Meir the Tana, and Shmuel, who we underlined, is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the truth is, Shmuel could be going like Rabbi Meir, but the bottom line is, Rav has to be going like Rabbi Meir and only Rabbi Meir. Rav, who we circled Amar, like Kasha, it depends, Kan Bistam, Khan b'mefarish designed. There's actually a distinction when he says stam on the condition that you won't have any claims of price fraud. He didn't know about that there was going to be any price fraud. Whereas mefarish is where he's specifying, and you have this sometimes. A person really wants an item. The seller says, "Listen, it's on the condition that, like, you know, you're getting overcharged. I know I'm overcharging you. I'm telling you right now, I'm overcharging you." That would be the distinction. Disanya. We have a price that starts here. It goes for 7-8 lines. B'med varma murim. When is it that there is a claim of price fraud? That's in a general standard case of stam, where two people make a business transaction and nothing specifically was spoken out. Aval b'mefaresh, where it's made absolutely clear that one side is paying either much more or much less, like mocher shamar lekech, if you have a seller who says to a purchaser, quote, this here item that I'm selling you, bimasayim for 200, yoideani she enoi shave elamana, I know it's worth only 100. Now, that's definitely price fraud. He's charging 200 for 100 item. However, I'm selling to you, that's fine. However, it's almanas on the condition, she'en lach alai, I know that you have no claims of price fraud against me. You know what? No, he has no claims of price fraud because everything's spoken out. Like, the purchaser didn't have to buy it. The seller made it very clear. That's where there would not be a claim. Similarly, if you have a buyer, Shama the Meichru says to the seller, listen, this here item that I'm going to purchase from you, bimana for 100, I know very well, that it's worth actually 200. And I'm willing to buy it from you, but it's got to be clear that it's almanah she'en lach, that you will not come back with some claim of price fraud. Well, in those cases where it was spoken out and made clear, ein loy alav ana, just as our condition was, that's what it'll be. There is no possibility of a claim of price fraud in those scenarios. That's the end of that brisa. Tana Rabbana, we have another brisa that goes for about five lines and starts here. If you have people who are doing business, meaning you have a person who has merchandise, another guy who's going to sell some merchandise, and it's be'amana, which we explained up above was, I'll trust you to sell the item for the best price you can get. Let's say I have two qualities of merchandise and I need somebody to sell it for me. I have good stuff, which will sell right away. I have other stuff, which might take longer to sell on the marketplace. What I would not be allowed to do, I can't make the deal as follows, that the ra be amana, sell the lower quality stuff for basically whatever you can get for it, and I know it'll take a bit of time, and the yafe, the high quality stuff, which of course will sell out right away, you can sell for what it's worth, and then pay me all of the money at the end. And the reason why that's a problem is because I'm essentially giving him the proceeds of the stuff that sells right away, time to use that money, because the other stuff, it'll take much longer to sell, and only then he's going to pay me back. Ella zeveze ba'amana, you can have higher quality and lower quality stuff, both, as long as they are either both ba'amana, which is sell it for whatever you can get it for me and give me the money right away, or zeveze b'shave, or you have to sell each one for what's the fair market amount, even though it might take longer. Now, if let's say the deal was zeveze ba'amana, naisen le'skar kosef, there's a couple of reimbursements that the person who dealt with this sale is allowed to request. Number one, if there's literally wages for shold, in other words, let's say schlepper fees or transportation fees, that the seller doesn't have to take. That's has to be reimbursed by the person who owned the merchandise. Schar gamal, if you have to hire camels to transport, you know, trucking costs. Schar pundak, if it required going far away, staying overnight in a hotel, so reimbursement for the hotel stay. What about actual wages for the guy who made the sale and worked on the sale? Schar atzmai einu noitel, that he doesn't get. Why? Shekvar nosan loy, because part of the standard deal already was scharei meshalim, his complete wages. Okay, where did we discuss? We didn't. So the Gemara wants to know now. That's the end of the Braisa. Skari Mishale Mehecha Kayoivle. Where does the one who took the merchandise, brought it to market, spent time selling it, where does he get his wages from? Amrav Papa Be Tsadruye Diavi Arba Le Meya. Tsadruye is like the typical clothing salesman, the hemp garment salesperson, who would typically, his wages would be 4 for every 100. So let's say for every 100 hemp garments he sold of the producer, he would get 4 for himself. So I guess approximately a 4 or 3.8% of the sales is his cut. Ad kan.